Well, today is Pentecost Sunday, and while it won't be the kind of the focus of where we're going in the Word this morning, I'm just reminded that the only reason we can experience the presence of God like we do this morning is because of what Jesus has done that allows His Holy Spirit to come and to actually, for us to walk in relationship with the Spirit of God, the very presence of God in our lives, that barrier of sin has been removed. And it's because of Jesus that we are blessed with the Spirit of God and His work in us. So what an amazing thought to remember this morning, that God has sent His Holy Spirit. Jesus said, wait for it, because I'm going, but I'm going to send the Spirit of God. And He's going to come and He's going to be with you. He's going to dwell in you. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to be able to live life differently as He works in you, as the presence of God works in you. You can actually live life differently as God's presence is with you. And just so thankful that we experience that in our gatherings. Allow Him to work in our lives. Just before I go on, someone just reminded me that perhaps you need a reminder that next Sunday at 6 o'clock, if you're a member of Glad Tidings Church, I invite you to come at 6 o'clock to come back here on Sunday night. And we just have some discussion and some decisions to make about some land that the church owns. If you were to open these doors here, you would see next door Baskin Place, Seniors Complex. We don't own that. But on the other side of that, there's a field that is empty. And just have some decisions to make about that. So if you are a member, please don't forget to come. We'll announce it again next Sunday. But we need your input. We need your help with that decision. So this morning we start a new series. And we're entitling it My Family Tree. And all of us have a family tree, right? I don't know how many of you have taken time to really look back over your history and actually be the one in your family that is a bit of a historian, perhaps, that has an interest in this, and then has gone back to map out your family as far back as you can. It's an interesting exercise. I don't know that in our family that's really been done. And so maybe someday someone will take up that cause. But we all have a family tree in some way, shape, or form. And between now and Father's Day, we want to take some time to talk about how we are planted with a purpose, that no matter what your family tree looks like, that there is God's purpose for you. And so I was thinking back to part of what gave rise to a desire in my heart to talk about family is back in February. I've already mentioned, but we had a chance to go on a cruise, and every night there was a guest speaker that spoke. The intent of that cruise was to get away, to just invest in your marriage. It was a couples-only cruise. And so every night they had a speaker that in some way would encourage us about family or marriage, about relationship in that context. And I remember that one night we went and we heard someone speak, and he spoke on a passage of Scripture, and it just spoke to me in a fresh way. It wasn't a new passage of Scripture. In fact, you've heard it preached on many times. But somewhere over the vast Atlantic Ocean on that warm summer night, I'm just remembering it now, I remember that moment where I felt, you know, that was a moment that in some way began to stir in me a desire for us as a church family to take some time to once again ask God to do something in our families, whatever our families look like at the current moment. Because God wants to work at that level of your family tree. And so what was shared that night by the person that spoke, he shared the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, and we won't turn there for sake of time, but Matthew chapter 7, Jesus begins to talk about a construction project, and he talks about two different builders, and what they're building is a house, building a home, probably for a family to move into. And one of them builds on a foundation that is not secure, and the other one builds on a foundation that is solid. And then Jesus, in this parable, he said, inevitably what comes our way, there are storms, there's floods, the wind begins to beat against these two houses. And the house that was built on sand, it doesn't survive. The house that is built on a firm foundation, it weathers the storm. And he uses this analogy about building on a foundation. And Jesus says this in that parable. He says, if we choose to put our faith in him, If our foundation becomes God and we decide in our hearts, God, my foundation, the foundation that I'm going to build on is your story for my life, is your goodness, is your strength, is your ability that can carry me. If we choose to build our foundation in Jesus and in God's plan for our lives, then the storms that come our way will not destroy us. There will still be storms, but they will not destroy us. However, if the foundation of our lives is built on other things, it will be like building on sand. And so Jesus said that the house that was built on sand, we'll just read it for you in Matthew 7:27. He said, "The rains fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house and it fell. And great was its fall." You know, that really is a tragic scene. Have you ever been in that situation where you have put a tremendous amount of work into something, and perhaps whatever it was that you built, you realized too late that you didn't build it well? Maybe you made a mistake, and in some way, all of that work was erased in a moment. And we have this picture of this house that just collapses in the midst of a storm, and it's a tragic scene. All of that work gone, destruction and loss. And, you know, you wonder, you know, perhaps that builder actually thought that what they were building on was okay. But when the storm came and they realized that this house is beginning to shake, I need to get out, and they realized too late that what they had chosen to build that house on was not sufficient. And looking back, I'm sure they wished that they had built on something different. Often in Scripture, when we look at this particular passage, we remember that the term house is used to speak of family. Remember, can I take you back to Joshua? That moment where he's standing in front of the Israelite nation, and he basically just calls them to account, and he says to them, listen, it's time to choose what your foundation's going to be. It's time to choose, are you going to follow God? Is he going to be your foundation? Are you going to make a decision to say, my life and my family, we are going to build on the foundation of God and his presence in our lives? Or are you going to choose to build on another foundation? You choose. You get to choose. But there needs to be a choice. And Joshua, in front of that nation of Israel, he says to them, it's time for choice. And you can choose other foundations. But let's get to the point here. Let's choose. And don't dilly-dally around. Don't be wishy-washy about this. Decide. Are you going to build your life on the foundation of God or not? And then he says this. He says, as for me and my house, he said, we will serve the Lord. So Joshua is very clear. The foundation, he is saying, that I am choosing to build my life on, and the foundation that I am looking to for my family, it's God. And here's a decision point for me. And so let me just be clear about that. I'm not going to build my foundation of my life on anything else. It's going to be God. And so it's time for you to choose. And perhaps this morning, it's a reminder to us to ask ourselves that question, what foundation am I building my life on really? You know, we can say something, but then when we look at our lives, are we actually living that out? And what foundation am I building my family on? And will I look back at some point and think, oh my goodness, I wish I had built on the firm foundation of God's plan for my life. I wish I had submitted to his plan for my life. And we don't want to look back and realize that we have built on a foundation that is not firm. And so in the context of family, if we think of house as a home, Jesus said the rains fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against that house. Have you ever gone through a season where you felt as though there were some storms slamming against your house, against your family? Have you ever been there where it just seems as though this is an intense time? I just feel as though there are things slamming against my house or my family, my home. You know, there are tremendous pressures. You've heard this before. There are tremendous pressures against family today in the culture in which we live, against marriages. Some of it is simply the demands of living. We live in an increasingly fast-paced society that changes. We're trying to keep up with that in some ways. We live as parents and as families with all kinds of messages that tell us this is what your family needs, this is what your children need. If they miss out on this or they miss out on that, they're going to be incomplete. They're not really going to be whole people. They're going to, you know, their future is uncertain, so this is what you need. You better go after that. Don't miss out on that for your kids. We hear that all the time. It's everywhere. It's constant. And I think as parents, we can succumb to that fear. Well, what if I don't give my child that opportunity? What if I can't afford that or this? And boy, we begin to feel the pressure of raising a family in the reality of the context in which we live. But a great deal of the pressure that comes against family, and again, this is not new to you, but that pressure is spiritual because we know that there is evil at work in our world. You don't have to go far to find that. But I don't think it's overstating the fact to say that the enemy of our souls hates the family. He hates the family because the family, in God's design, is meant to be a blessing. It's meant to be a place where relationships are wholesome. And take, for instance, a marriage. You know what a marriage is meant to represent? It's meant to be a picture of what? A picture of Jesus and how much he loves the church. And so when a husband and wife are walking together in unity, when they are living out a selfless love for one another, then we begin to get a little bit of a glimpse of how much Jesus loves us. And so when the enemy sees a marriage succeeding in that way, what is he going to do? He hates it. He's going to come against that relationship and try to bring destruction. And so I don't think it's overstating the fact that there is a very real spiritual attack on family today, and there always has been. But the enemy tries to do his work of stealing and killing and destroying, and your family is not exempt from what the enemy wants to do. I'm not saying he can do at will what he wants to do. There's good news this morning. We're going to get there. But if the enemy can inflict damage on a family, he is inflicting maximum damage. Why? Because those relationships are meant to be some of the closest ones that you are meant to enjoy and to derive life from. If the enemy can attack at that level, he does deep damage in our lives. So he does what he can. But there is good news, and it is this, that there's a foundation that can sustain us in the midst of storms. And so this series is really about good news. And we've entitled My Family Tree, Planted with a Purpose, because over the course of this series, this is our heart, this is our prayer for us. I'm including that, me in that, and my family, and that we would have a renewed hope in what God can do in the midst of our brokenness, in the midst of whatever our family tree looks like. You may say, my family tree, I don't even want to think about it. Have you seen my family tree? You really don't want to see it either. Right? I mean, it doesn't even look like a tree. It's, you know, there's branches broken off. And when I think of my family tree, I just immediately want to think of something else because all I can see is the disappointments and the pain of the past or perhaps even of the present. And we need to come back to God with even those places of brokenness and remember with renewed hope that God has a purpose for our families, whatever configuration they are currently in. And so can we be reminded this morning that God has a design? If we go back to Genesis, we just remember again today that God has a design. What did he say to Adam and Eve? He wanted them to walk in relationship with one another. And then he said this, be fruitful and multiply. He wanted them to have a family. God's design in his heart was what we've been talking about. A man and a woman walking in covenant relationship with one another, having the joy of having children, and then in a loving environment, seeing those children raised and begin to have families of their own. That is why the family is often referred to as the building block of society. Without men and women in relationship with one another, bearing children, being fruitful and multiplying, humanity would die out in a few short generations. It really is the building block of society. And society may try to change the definition of marriage, may try to do all sorts of things with the design of family. When we come back to this thought that God has a good plan in mind. And so family is so essential to God's heart. And so he said to Adam and Eve, he said, be fruitful and multiply. And we know that sin marred God's design, right? We know that when Adam and Eve chose to go their own way, they chose to disobey God and reject his plan and his instruction for them, then they did be fruitful and multiply. So the design was not completely obliterated, but it was marred. And what happened early on in their family, there was two brothers, Cain and Abel. You know the story. And, you know, brothers have, you know, sibling rivalry and that kind of thing. We know that there's conflict at some level in every family. But Adam and Eve's parents had to endure the pain of seeing one of their sons actually murder and take the life of another of their sons. And they, as parents, must have endured some deep, deep pain. And right away, we see that God's plan is marred and that pain is now introduced into the family in a way that he never intended it to be. And so we can look at our current reality in our families, and we can just not have to look far to realize that, or to remember that, you know, we grew up in families that were not perfect. Anyone here grew up in a perfect family? We grew up in homes where at some level there was pain and brokenness, and sometimes we see some of those things begin to show up in our own families, and we don't want them to. And so the reality of our broken world is that not every family fits the ideal of God's design of what he wants a family to look like. You know, last week, I don't know how many of you were here to hear Sharon, I believe it was last week, Sharon Bailey, and she talked about how she was given up for adoption at 6 weeks of age, and her mom was, I think, 19 or so when she became pregnant with Sharon. And back in those days, so she wasn't married, back in those days, you just didn't do that. And so her mom felt as though the only option she had as this young mother was when her daughter was 6 weeks of age, to give her away, to give her to another family to raise. I can't imagine how that would have felt for her, but Sharon spoke about how, you know, God was with her all through her life. God has been blessing her. That even though she didn't grow up in a family that reflected her birth mother and her birth father, that she saw God's faithfulness. And so be encouraged today that even if your family doesn't fit God's ideal design, the good news is this, that God can still use your family and he can use your circumstance for his good. Because God is a God that redeems. And so families come in different shapes and sizes. And our reality may seem as though it puts us at a disadvantage, but know this morning, as we begin to look at God's ability to redeem a situation, know this, that whatever your current family looks like, that as you submit your path to God, as you submit your future to God, as you submit your past mistakes to God, that he can bring good out of it. That's what God can do. And that's the hope that there is. That is the good news. And so the third point this morning is this, that while God has a design and sin has marred it, that Jesus redeems. Jesus came to redeem the places in our lives in which we find brokenness. You know, I was thinking about family trees, and did you know that Jesus' family tree didn't look all that neat and tidy? There was adultery in his family tree. There was prostitution in his family tree. And yet, God used people that were broken and that made mistakes to bring the lineage of Jesus, to bring the one that would bring salvation, to bring Jesus who would actually be able now to redeem those places in our families that are broken. So what does that word redeem mean? Well, it means this. At one level, it means simply this, to buy back or to purchase. Jesus came to redeem. He came to buy back or to purchase. I heard a story, and perhaps you've heard this as well, of a little boy, and he took some time one summer to carve a little sailboat. And so he got a piece of wood, he began to whittle it. He was so proud of it, he had spent a lot of time with it, he fashioned it with a little sail. And then he went out one day, and he enjoyed sailing this on a small river that wasn't far from his house. And he always had a string on that boat, and so he could guide it, he could keep it out of the rough water. One day, he was sailing his sailboat, and the string broke. And to his horror, he saw his little sailboat begin to get out into the swift current, and it floated away. He ran down the shore. He tried to jump in and rescue that boat, but it was gone. And he went home just sad, brokenhearted. This little boat that he had spent so much time with was gone. A few weeks later, time went on that summer, and he happened to be walking past a pawn shop one day, and in the window, what did he see? He saw that boat. And his heart kind of leapt inside him. He thought, it can't be, but he looked a bit closer, and here was the boat that he himself had made. It was there. And so he ran into that store, and he said to that man behind the counter, he said, that's my boat in the window. Hey, can I have it? It's my boat. I made it. And the owner said, no, you can't have that. Someone sold it to me. I paid money for it. But, well, you can have it, but it's going to cost you $2. And so that little boy, he walked out of that store, and he was determined. And he went home, and over the next little while, he saved, and he did what he could. And finally, he had the $2, and he made his way back to that store. And thankfully, the boat was still in the window, and he went up to the owner of that store. He said, I want to buy my boat. And he gave him the $2. And he went and he took that boat out of the shelf, and he walked out of the store with that boat again, and there's such joy in his heart. And he said to that boat, he said, you're twice mine. You're twice mine. The joy of making that boat and then the joy of being reunited with it. But what, he redeemed that boat. He paid a price that it could once again be his. And that, in a nutshell, is what Jesus came to do. Because when God created mankind, we were meant to live in relationship with him, and sin marred that plan, and sin created the separation. So Jesus came, and by shedding his blood for you and I, by taking our sin on the cross, we are twice his. And by faith, we simply accept and say, Jesus, thank you for forgiving me of my sin. Thank you for giving your life. You have redeemed me, and I want to simply accept your gift of salvation and step into relationship with you. Because there is a God that has created you, and he wants you to walk in relationship with him and to know his goodness. And so that little boy becomes an illustration for us today. You are redeemed. You're twice God's. He made you, and at the moment where you chose to accept forgiveness through what Jesus has done, you were cleansed from your sin. That barrier is gone. You are twice his. And so Jesus redeems, he paid a price to rescue us from one life that was a slave to sin and to Satan and bring us into freedom. And so at one level, it simply means to buy back. Scripturally, redemption was often in reference to buying freedom for someone who was a slave. And we don't have a lot of context for this in our culture. But as a slave, we know that you would serve the taskmaster, and you were not free to live the life that you wanted to live, that you were intended to live. And so there's this longing to be free, and one day it would be something like this as it plays out. One day someone came and said to your master, your slave master, they said, I want to buy that slave, and I want to buy that person's freedom. You imagine as a slave, all of a sudden, no longer being in that position of being a slave, you are now free. You are free to live life as you were intended to live it. And so in a spiritual sense, Jesus came to redeem us, to purchase us back. And he came to bring us into the relationship of a heavenly Father once again. And then now, as the Spirit of God works in us, there is hope for us to experience God's goodness in our current day-to-day life. And in the context of family, it means this, that there is hope for you to experience God's goodness in your family. There is hope for you to experience God's goodness in your family. Why? Because you have been redeemed, and your life now serves God's purposes. You are no longer a slave to sin and to Satan, but now you are living in freedom in serving the God that created you. And his plans for you are always good. And so he can use our brokenness for his glory. You know, today is Pentecost Sunday. I've mentioned that already, but we celebrate this fact that the presence of God is now with us and that we can live a life that's redeemed. I want to just put it this way for you. A life redeemed leads to a redeemed life. A life redeemed leads to a redeemed life. What do I mean by that? It means that the moment you step into relationship with God through the person of Jesus Christ, you have been redeemed and you've accepted what Jesus has done for you. And that from that moment on, it means that every area of your life can now serve God's purposes. Even your past can serve God's purposes in the present. He can somehow bring good out of it. And so a redeemed life, a life redeemed leads to a redeemed life. It means that in your everyday that God wants to redeem your circumstance. He wants to buy it back, something that looks like there's no good in it at all, and he wants to bring it into his kingdom purposes. He wants to use it for good. And so listen to what Paul says in Romans 8:28. This is exactly what Paul's talking about. He's saying that we can live a redeemed life, and he says this, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good. There's that concept of redemption, that in God's hands, something that has no goodness in it can work together for something good. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. And this is exactly what Paul is talking about here, and that is the redeemed life, where once our lives were really enslaved to the purposes of our own sinfulness, now they are free to serve God's purposes. And Jesus paid a price so that we could now walk in a way that reflects God's redemptive power. God has put us on a new course in life, and it is a story of redemption. And you know, that story of redemption plays out over and over again in our lives as we allow God to do his redemptive work in us. It plays out over and over again. And so I'm so thankful this morning that God can redeem circumstances in our lives that on the surface have nothing good in and of themselves. And as we submit them to him, we can know that in some way that God can bring goodness and beauty out of those places in our lives. All things work together for good in God's hands as we submit them to God. You know, perhaps this is a verse that you don't like because it's been used as kind of a pat answer in a very painful situation in your life. Is that you this morning? Where you have been broken and hurting, and someone in a bit of a pat way says, well, you know, all things work together for good. In other words, it'll be okay. You know, maybe you dislike this verse. You know, it's never meant to be a pat answer. It's never meant to be something that dismisses our pain. And I am sorry if it has been used that way in your life. It's kind of a dismissive way to not really acknowledge the pain that you're feeling. But it is a truth that I believe that God wants to remind us of this morning, that in spite of the pain that is very real in our lives, that God can bring something beautiful out of it as we submit it to him. And that is the God that we serve. He is a redemptive God. He has redemptive power in your life and in your family and in your circumstance. And church, let's never use this verse as a pat answer when we're not sure what else to say or we're uncomfortable with someone's pain. We need to acknowledge when someone is hurting and broken, and we need to sit with them and allow them to acknowledge that and then begin to give them hope, but not in a way that's just a pat answer. It's so important to note that not all things are good. Not everything that comes into your life is good. We endure brokenness and pain in this life. Jesus said we would. It shouldn't really be a surprise. But all things can work together for good as we surrender them into God's hands. And those things that are not good in and of themselves, that he puts them together, Scripture says. He works in the midst of those things, and out of them can come something of beauty. And I love this thought that through the filter of the cross, that circumstances that seemed enslaved to evil, and what I mean by that is that circumstances that seem only to serve pain and brokenness, only to serve something that results in evil, that those things can be now things that serve God's good purposes. That is a picture of redemption. And so in our life, as we walk a life of redemption, as that story of redemption plays out over and over in our lives, we just need to be reminded, God, I am redeemed. You have bought me back. I'm twice yours. And what that means now is that whatever trial comes my way, that it will no longer serve the enemy's purposes, which is to steal, kill, and destroy. I will still suffer. There will still be pain in my life. But I can know that those things can somehow, in your hand, somehow there can be good that come of them. And that's the hope that we have in this understanding that God is a redemptive God. Someone said that God uses failure as much as success to reveal himself and to bring redemption. Do you know God can use your failures for his glory? I'm not saying we just live how we want and don't have a heart to serve God, no. God can use your mistakes even as you turn from them and give those moments to God and say, God, I realize I was building on a foundation that was nothing but sand. And God, I want you to be my foundation. We may not see it immediately, or perhaps even in our lifetime, but his promise is this, that he is a God that redeems and that he can work all things together for his good. I wonder this morning if I could ask the ushers to hand out a little something for you. Don't get too excited. It's just some modeling clay. It's not very pretty. It might get your hands a little bit sticky. But I'd like us to close in a specific way this morning. And I wonder, could I have a piece as well? I wonder if you could take this clay when you get it. I'll just give you a minute. There may not be enough for everyone. We weren't sure how many people would come this morning. But if you are a couple, if you want to break one in half and just share one, just bring back some memories. Who still needs one? Could you raise your hand if you don't have one yet? Just a few, okay. We're working our way back. Thank you, ushers, for helping. Appreciate that. Now, some of you want to make this into something right away, right? Starting already? I wanted us to just, as we close this morning, I wanted us to consider that God can shape things in our lives in ways that we can't. And we may take a disappointment, or we may take a pain of our past, or we may take something that we're currently going through, and we may desperately try to form it into something that looks beautiful. And what God asks us to do is he asks us to do this. He says, if you will give me that place in your life, if you will give me that disappointment, if you will give me that past failure that just seems to continue to haunt you in your life, if you will give me that brokenness in that relationship, if you will trust me, then God can in some way, and I don't know how he will do it, but I believe that God is faithful. And as we give those things to him, that in his hands, that he can begin to form something that would amaze us if we begin to see the goodness that comes out of that place of brokenness in our families or in our lives. As we simply surrender them to God. And this morning I'm going to ask that we just take a moment just to worship. And Stephanie, would you come back? And there's a song that says, build my life. Build my life. And this morning perhaps there's something very specific that this represents in your life. Maybe only you know what it is, but it may be a reminder to you that God is saying, I want you to surrender your life to me because I want to shape it. I want you to come back to building on the foundation that I offer. And maybe you've been building on other things, and God has been speaking to you this morning, and perhaps this represents your life. And this morning you want to say, God, once again, I want to recommit to giving you my life because I know that as I try to shape it, it doesn't take the shape that you designed for it. And as I give my life to you, God, that you will shape it. You will help me to weather the storms. I want my foundation to be you. So maybe this represents just a fresh commitment of giving your life to God. Maybe it represents your family. And there is some pain in your family or your extended family that you once again want to say, God, if all things work together for good, I know that only happens as I surrender it to you. And I want this morning to once again say, God, I trust you with this. I don't know how you could bring anything good out of it, but God, I'm giving it to you once again, and I'm trusting you that over time, and maybe not even in my lifetime, but God, I surrender it to you. Because I know that you're a redeeming God, that you can buy back those things, you can take them back from what the enemy has tried to use them for, and you can bring them and begin to shape them in your hands, and they can begin to be something beautiful in my life in a way that I never anticipated. And that's what it means to be to serve a God that redeems. Maybe it represents something in your past, and you just need to give it back to God. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. Just stand with me. And as we sing, can we just worship for a moment before we go? And would you just think about what it is that you need to trust God for? What is it that you're going to say, God, I ask that you would redeem that it would no longer serve the enemy's purpose, but it would serve yours, that you'd bring something good out of it. So as you're holding that, just begin to speak to the Lord about that as we worship. Let's just worship for a moment, then we're going to close in prayer. Church, let's just begin to respond to what God is speaking to us this morning. We build our lives on the firm foundation of your love for us, Lord. It's your kindness that leads us. You're our foundation. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to weather the storms of life. Pray you'd pour your peace into our hearts this morning, your joy and your hope in the midst of our circumstance. Do what only you can do. Thank you that you're a redeeming God. Thank you, Lord, for that truth this morning. Just wonder if you could just keep your heads bowed this morning. I wondered this morning if there's anyone here today and you would say, I haven't been building my life on the foundation of God's love for me. And I want to make that decision today. I want to make that decision today that I choose to build my life on the foundation of what Jesus has done for me. I just want to pray with you. Is anyone here today and you want to just raise your hands and say, yeah, that's me. It's time for me to make a choice here. I'm choosing God's foundation for my life, not the ones I've been building on. Anyone? Maybe today, I won't ask you to raise your hand, but maybe it looks as though you've been building your foundation on God and over the past season of your life, no one else knows it, but you know you haven't. And God has been speaking to you and saying, I want you to once again build on my foundation. And you've been building on other things. Maybe it would be a surprise to others to know where your heart's at this morning. But he's speaking to you and he's saying, build on a firm foundation. If that's you this morning, I want to encourage you to just recommit your life to the Lord. And so this morning, I wonder if this is how we could close, and we're just going to sing that again before we go. But I want to remind you that God can redeem the brokenness of your family tree. God can redeem a broken childhood. God can redeem the pain of a failed marriage. God can redeem your moments of failure and disappointment. God can redeem the story of your life and use it for his good. That's who he is. And so I'm going to ask that if this is something you'd like to do, if it's meaningful to you, that you would, as simply an act, a gesture of response to the Lord, that before you go, you would come and take your lump of clay and you would just set it here on the front and just say, God, this represents, and you know what it is, you fill in the blank. And I'm asking you to redeem it for your purposes. Maybe it represents a recommitment. God knows that. Maybe it represents just recommitting your family to the Lord and saying, God, we need you. But as we worship, if you'd like to do that, would you come and just place this on the front and then go back to your seat and we're gonna pray. Maybe you want to keep this and take it home, and that's okay too. But if you'd like to respond, and you'd like to place it here and say, God, this is what I'm asking you to redeem. Would you come ahead as we worship and just do that? And we're going to pray together before we go. Thank you, Lord. Would you go ahead and lead us in that again? Worthy to sing that together. Wow, so good. You know, there's different shapes up here, and you know what they represent. And I just believe that as you take those steps of continuing to give those things to the Lord, that He is a God that redeems. He is a God that redeems. What an amazing thought today. And may you know His redemptive story over and over and over again in your life this week and in the weeks to come, in your families, in those places in your life that you've given to Him again today, that His redeeming power was at work. So Lord, we just thank You for this morning. Thank You for Your work in our hearts. With joy we go, knowing, God, that You are able to bring good out of things in our lives that have no good in and of themselves. But God, in Your hands, they are shaped into something that reflects Your ability and Your goodness and Your beauty. And I pray that there would be many redemptive stories that we would carry with us, that Your eternal story of redemption would play out again and again in our lives and in our families and in our circumstances. God, for Your glory, that we would have stories of redemption to share with others, to bring hope to them as well. You're so good. We bless You this morning. And I pray that as we go, it would be with that sense of joy and peace. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. God bless you. If you need prayer, please come. We want to pray with you. But Stephanie's just going to sing us out with that song again. God bless you. Have a great week.